Fanny, we've been decorating and we've been doing it under your good advice. What's the most important thing to do before you start slapping the paint on the walls?
Well, the most important thing of all, in reality, is to prepare things. And prepare things really, really carefully.
So what does that involve, James? I mean, we've been sticking putty and stuff in holes and getting things ready here.
What it actually means is that you've got to look around, you've got to look at every single detail of your room, and you have got to do that. You've got to fill your holes that you see, or replaster certain areas, or use this decorator's cork and so on certain kind of places. And you've got to prepare the whole thing so that you don't have to stop in the middle of your paintwork and then start doing physical work which interferes with the colours and the walls and the surfaces that you're trying to get to perfection.
So we're standing here, we've done all that, and we've sanded back to get these really smooth surfaces.
We've done all of that, actually. One of the most important things is, if you're doing the ceiling, you must do the ceiling first. Because if you use one of the rollers, you're going to have little teeny-weeny splatters of paint all over the walls and the other surfaces. So that's the first thing that's got to be done. And then you can sand down your walls, sand down your woodwork, and then paint up to the ceiling.
Oh, I didn't realise that. That's a good job you told me.
Yes.
And then, so
very fundamental, really.
And then what we do is, because we've got this first coat on here, the Farrow and Ball.
Yes.
Which is sort of, why do you have to put this first coat on before you start painting?
One of the important things is that you've got to seal the surface, whichever surfaces you're coming across, whether it's naked plaster, whether it's papered plaster, whatever. And especially when you're using a colour, which you're using a colour here, which is going to be very, very dark red on one wall, you've actually got to put an undercoat on it, which is going to reflect that density of colour. So if you're putting a very light blue, you'd have to paint the wall probably the white that you've got here at the moment. So you have to do that first, because especially on the dark wall, if you paint it white first, you're going to get streaks and streaks and streaks and streaks, and it's going to cost you a fortune in paint just to make it dense. So it's effectively a colour undercoat that you need. Or if you're using very light colours, you could use white.
And what do you think to this Farrow and Ball paint?
Very, very good, actually. It's an acrylic mixture, which means it's much, much stronger than vinyl. And it also goes on very, very well in lots of ways. That the finishes are very, very good, either with brush or with roller. And I prefer using brushes. But even so, it's very, 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 very consistent. And it's also terribly consistent tin by tin as well, which is very, very important, because sometimes you will buy a colour and you need a cupful more in the midst of the whole operation. And Farrow and Ball is usually pretty good, actually. You really seldom can tell the difference, although still be careful.
And we were just saying that this paint is environmentally friendly, mm-hmm. and it uses natural pigments in it. And you're an artist, so do you find that the colour here is more intense than other paint colours?
They do use very, very good pigments. Yes, they do. And because, I mean, their fame really is that they have recreated in a modern form, in lots of ways, some of the very old traditional colours that used to be used. And, of course, these had things like arsenic and bull's blood and goodness knows what in it. So, of course, nobody wants to use those nowadays. So they've put sort of rather safer chemicals into their mix, and yet come up with a very true repro of what these historic colours should be. So they've done a jolly good job, yes, very good.